to all our listeners who were able to attend our gospel meeting that concluded last Lord's Day. We want to let you know how much we appreciated you being here. And I know you were blessed in hearing Brother Bill Boyd proclaim the Word of God in such a fine way. So we had a very successful gospel meeting, and of course, to the glory of God. And may all the fruit that comes from it continue to glorify God. Now, we had a number of sister congregations with us, and that means so very much to us. We love to have our brethren from other congregations fellowship with us and support us in gospel meetings. And we want to support them as well in their meetings. But especially to those in the community that attended, we want to let you know that you are an honored guest, and we want to invite you to come and be with us at every opportunity that you have. Now, I wanted to mention something as we begin this morning, because I failed to say this at the end of our study last Lord's Day, that I wanted to continue our study of 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And we studied about proving all things, but then we discussed turning loose of that which is bad. And I had something else I wanted to mention in that regard. And so we'll start with that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE. And that helps us to remember preparing for eternity. Keep those initials in mind. And as we go about our daily lives, what should we be doing? PFE, preparing for eternity. And so we want to take this opportunity, of course, to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in spirit and in truth, in accordance to John 4:24. Now, we want to mention this. If you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. We look forward to those opportunities. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code, our office phone number. Area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our continued study of Hold Fast That Which Is Good, is the title of our study, and we haven't gotten to that part actually as yet, but we'll hope to do that this Lord's Day. But before we get to Hold Fast That Which Is Good, I wanted to mention something else about what we should turn loose of, and of course, that which is bad. And this is a timely discussion here, because we're seeing so much hate. People in our own country that are wanting to see Jewish people annihilated. They're confronting them, and some are getting accosted and so forth. We need to understand that those that practice Judaism are lost in their sins. We love their souls, and we want to see them get out of a false belief. They rejected Christ, and salvation is only in Christ. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way to heaven through Christ. And if one rejects Christ, they're rejecting salvation. So we understand that they're not God's chosen people any longer. But we certainly don't want to hate them. We're not to hate anyone. If we have hatred in our hearts, we better turn loose of it. So I wanted to emphasize this before we move on in our study. We can't bear such anger that we allow it to turn to hatred. We can hate sin because God does. Perversion, all those things that are going on now, we don't like that. But in fact, we should hate sin because God, again, God does, but not ever hate the person. That's just never going to work with God. So I wanted to notice Titus chapter 3, and we'll begin with verses, Titus 3, and beginning with verse 3. Notice this with me together, because this deals with just what we're talking about here. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Washing of regeneration is baptism. This is the new birth, being born again of the water and the Spirit. Yes, this renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. Now, we're not, again, to hate anyone. Let's turn loose of that if that's the case, because that'll keep us out of heaven. Now, let's go on to this topic, hold fast that which is good. And I think it would be good to define what it means to cleave unto the Lord, because this is in Acts 11:23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God. Well, what did Barnabas see? He saw the results of the grace of God with these folks here, as they had accepted the grace of God and they were doing what God would have them to do, is growing in the faith. You see, and so he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, that, notice, they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, what does it mean to cleave unto the Lord? Well, that's to hold fast. That's what we're talking about here. And so in Romans 12:9, here's another verse to look at. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And so this, another Greek word that's translated cleave, according to Thayer, means to glue together, cement, fasten together. So that's what we're talking about, and hold fast that which is good. Just really glue it to our hearts and our minds and be determined never to turn loose of certainly the truth. Of course, we need to distinguish between error and truth. In learning the truth, one must live by the truth and never turn away from it, nor never turn loose of it. That's right. Now, in Titus 1:9, here we have in the list of the qualifications of elders. And notice, holding what? Fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers. Elders need to stand against those that are gainsayers, those that are opposed to the truth. And they are to have sound doctrine, of course, enabling them to do that. So we need to mention this because And we've studied this before when Jesus was before Pilate, and Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." John 18:38. So that question he asked, he was not expecting an answer. It's like he said, "What is truth?" As if you couldn't answer it. You see, that's like many today who think truth is relative and subjective. What's true for you may not be true for me, and so forth. You see, that is not what we're talking about with the Word of God. No, sir. Truth is absolute, and it's certainly not subjective, it's objective. Remember that. Truth is absolute and objective. As Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. Now, do we know the truth? Have we been made free by obeying the truth? That's a good question, isn't it? That we all need to answer honestly. If you go to John 17:17, here is an actual prayer of Christ. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17:17. So, if we do not receive the word of God, we do not have the truth. We may think we have the truth, but if we haven't received the word of God, we're deceiving ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." Is the word of God working in us? Well, it should be if we're members of the Lord's church. If we haven't obeyed the gospel, then the word of God is not effectively working in us. It's just that clear. Notice Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." This is in the scripture talking about the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:11, "that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So this enables us, of course, to stand in that evil day, having done all to stand. Notice, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel." Verse 15. The gospel of peace. Need to emphasize that. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to," notice, "quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Verse 17, "and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." Here's the weapon. The whole armor of God is defense. Here's the offense. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So let's not forget that. Now, Colossians 1:5. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." You see how that's connected. The gospel is revealing the truth, the gospel of Christ, the good news, how we can be saved from our sins because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and continue therein, of course. So we certainly want to do that. And notice with me now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Certainly we don't want to be of that group. that believeth not. Notice 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? God would have all men to be saved, but we have to come unto the knowledge of truth in order to be saved. It's not just a matter of believing Jesus is the Christ. That's part of it. But we have to believe the gospel. What we are to do. God's grace is a gift. We don't deserve it, but we have to do something in order to obtain it. And that's not works of merit. That's works of what? Righteousness. So we have to do our part. Well, notice chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, of course this is the spiritual house of God, the church, which is, notice, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Without the church, you wouldn't have the pillar and ground of the truth, would you? So let's remember that. And second, let's go over to 2 Timothy now, chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. The Old Testament has been nailed to the cross. We're under the law of Christ. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. Verse 25, still in 2 Timothy 2. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. We need to acknowledge the truth. Submit to it again. You can just see verse after verse. Chapter 3, still in 2 Timothy, notice verses 7 and 8. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, those were the magicians, remember, who Pharaoh was utilizing in order not to let the children go. So they gave up, didn't they? But they were withstanding Moses, so do also those also, these also resist the truth. Men of what? Corrupt minds, retrobate concerning the faith. Men of corrupt minds, they resist the truth. We don't want to be in that situation, in that category. Chapter 4, verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Do we want to hear a preacher that gets up and tells stories and fables? Or do we want to hear the word of God proclaimed? You could fill a thimble with the scriptures that some preachers use. Do we not thirst after righteousness and want to hear the gospel, hear the word of God being proclaimed? We should. What about in James chapter 1, verse 18? Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Yes. We were begotten by the word of God. And notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God. The truth. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? We could just go on and on. Scripture after scripture. Is not the point made? We should be very grateful and full of joy if we have found the truth and never, never, never turn loose of it. Never turn loose of the truth. Well, let's go on as we're talking about holding fast that which is good. Certainly, in the divine institution of marriage, that was from the beginning, God commanded the husband to cleave to his wife. Genesis 2:24. That's holding fast that which is good, isn't it? Matthew 19:5, Jesus mentioned this. Mark 10:7, from the beginning. It was not so that God wanted the divorce for any cause. Of course not, as so many are doing today. But there was one grounds for putting away one spouse. The innocent party could put away the guilty if they were guilty of what? Fornication, unfaithfulness. And that's it for the exception you see there. So if we make vows before God unto death do us depart, we need to hold fast to those vows. That's right. In Romans 7:2, you can see where Paul used marriage in showing that you couldn't be married to two husbands, nor could you be under two laws. The old law of Moses was nailed to the cross. The law of Christ was now effective. You couldn't have both. And in verse 2, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. And of course, this would apply to the husband also being bound to his wife. That's right. So that's something to hold fast to, our marriage, if it's a scriptural one. Now, as we talked about last Lord's Day, if it's not a scriptural marriage, then that's something to turn loose of. We need to put our soul above that situation. Now, in Revelation 19, 7 and 8, chapter 21, verse 9, we have members of the body of Christ being referred to as the bride of the Lamb, which is Christ. So we're in that marriage situation in a spiritual sense. We need to be faithful to Christ, just like we do to our spouses. And, of course, as we've tried to emphasize, we're to cleave to the Lord our God, just as God's chosen people were to cleave unto Him in the days of the Old Testament. You can see that, Deuteronomy 10, 20, chapter 11, 22, chapter 13, verse 4, chapter 30, verse 20, and into Joshua 22, 5, 23, 8, and so forth. Now, let me mention this, because Judas said this, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. Matthew 26:48. Well, his purpose was to betray Christ, but we should what? Hold fast to Christ by following his will. Not only must we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, but we must hold fast our own righteousness as faithful members of the Lord's church. Hold fast that which is good. That's including our daily life, our daily walk, to live a righteous life before God, seeking to do his will no matter what circumstance. Job, you remember his trials as he was certainly suffering from the loss of 10 children. Of course, his possessions as well, but the 10 children, no doubt, was the main loss. His wife suggesting he curse God and die. The second round, Satan took his health. But Job 27:6, Job states, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. He wasn't going to violate his conscience. As long as we set our conscience toward the Word of God, we need to hold fast to our conscience. And that's holding fast to our righteousness. Acts 20:24, Paul, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Can we say as Paul, neither count my life dear unto myself? Acts 20:24. We should be able to say that as we look forward to heaven and to being with Christ. That's far greater, isn't it? For me to die is gain, Paul said it, but to live is Christ. Well, let's notice some verses that will be helpful to our study in holding fast that which is good. We'll start with Proverbs 3:21 through 24. The inspired Solomon, "My son, let not them depart from thy eyes." What is he talking about? Well, let's go on. "Keep sound wisdom and discretion." That's what's not to depart from the son's eyes, and neither should it ours. That's right. "Keep sound wisdom and discretion ever before us. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." Sweet sleep. Chapter 4, verse 13. "Take fast hold of instruction." That's divine instruction, of course. "Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Chapter 23:23. "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Now the New Testament, Acts 11:23. "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God and was glad," again this was Barnabas, "and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Well, it's good to repeat that one, isn't it? Chapter 14:22, "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." We're going to have trials and tribulations. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Now, these were divine traditions from the word of God. 2 Timothy 1:13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which ye have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Hebrews 4:14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Chapter 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Revelation 2:25, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." Chapter 3, verse 3, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Let's now, as we're coming to a close, and we could just go on and on with the scriptures, but here is what we need to realize. We need to hold fast that which is good, cleave to the Lord, turn loose of that which is not good, that which is bad, and prove all things, as this has been our study in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Now we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. Hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, make the good confession, then we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. He adds us to his body, the true church. Now we need to be faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.